Blog Talk Radio.
Sophie Shepard, not said the U.S. governmental shutdown. What is it?
a temporary disorder, or the symptom of a serious disease. Budget talks are tough in any state as economies struggle to stay afloat amongst the stormy waves of the global crisis. But is there somebody who benefits from this troubled state of affairs, or maybe even controls the winds?
In the reality of the global economic slowdown, money still makes the world go round. In the circles of vice and lust, political maneuvering and corruption. Is money the source of all evil, or just those who control it? Are banks there to keep the people's wealth, or to steal it? Can any government be called honest? Who runs the economic and political scene?
Our guest today is whistleblower Karen Hughes, former senior counselor at the World Bank. Karen, it's great to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Sophie. I'm glad to be with you.
So the government shutdown, is the move on the part of the Republicans justified? Is fighting off Obamacare worth all this mess?
I think there's something more going on behind the scenes. A lot more, actually.
What do you mean?
Well, there is a terrible currency problem. We're on the verge of a currency war. The Federal Reserve is printing dollars like there's no tomorrow, and if they keep going, the rest of the world is not going to accept them. As it is, the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have decided that they're going to finance the trade among these countries with offsets and pay for the difference in gold. And
but how is that connected
the right
with the shutdown,
for them
though?
Because the U.S. Congress has been fighting with the presidency because the presidency has been in total contempt, and the highest legal officer of the United States government has also been in contempt of Congress in fighting this international corruption that is ruining the dollar as an international reserve currency.
But, you know, economists have been predicting the dollar will fall ever since the crisis in 2008, but the government has managed to keep it afloat.
Well, not for long. If you look at what's going on in the gold and other precious metals markets, silver as well, we're headed towards something called permanent gold backwardation. That means that there's a loss in confidence in the fiat currencies that are issued by those private banks. They like to consider themselves as public banks, but they're really owned by private entities. And these currencies are about to crash because they are valueless. That's what always happens to paper currencies that aren't backed by assets.
Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, gold backwardation, gold is often chanted as perfectly safe investment, an alternative to the dollar even. But how come the price of gold is falling?
Because of market manipulation. But that can only continue for so long because the central banks are running out of gold and the rest of the world are lining up to buy them. If you want to buy gold today, you have to pay a premium. What they're offering in the future is called a naked short. They don't have the gold to back those offers. That's illegal what they're doing.
I will get back to gold in a bit, but for now I would like to focus on Obamacare. In your opinion, is Obamacare really that crucial for the U.S. economy?
What you have is something that's very good for the medical insurers, because most of the other countries that offer medical coverage do this through a single issuer. And that's not what we have here. What we have here is a bill that was drafted by the medical insurance companies. It's not good for this economy. It never was.
But why? Why do you say it's not good?
Because what's happening is the workers that worked full-time are being put deliberately on part-time basis so that the companies can avoid giving them medical insurance coverage under the provisions of the law.
Mm-hmm. You know, this Obamacare thing, I've heard it many times being compared to socialism, communism sometimes even. Do you trace the resemblance?
That's just because the mainstream media, when they report about what's going on, are doing it by telling lies and anything that's good for the powers that be. The mainstream media is completely owned and controlled by the same companies, private companies, that own the Federal Reserve System. Most of the American citizens are clueless about the corruption that's rifling their economy.
But just to make sure, are you saying that everything about Obamacare is bad, or are there good things about it?
No, of course there are good things about it, but the problem is that the people that wanted to get a decent coverage were not given the tools. They were not given the equipment. They were not given the press coverage, the honest press coverage that a society needs to enact just legislation. Their Congress people are all bribed by these corrupt forces.
So
and the American citizens have zero confidence in their Congress.
So at this point, you side with the Republicans for blocking the Medicare.
I'm not siding with Democrats or Republicans because both of those parties have been co-opted by this terrible corrupt force that I'm talking about.
What we have right now is Americans being forced to get health insurance. How does that go with their love of liberties and freedom of choice?
It's not so much a question of being forced. You have to look at those parts of the society that have been thrown under the bus, the uneducated children who are not given a superior education like we used to have. We are a society that is giving short shrift to the people that need us. I'm not saying that we ignore the health needs of our country. I'm saying that we ignore the mainstream media because they are not telling us the truth.
You know, I've also heard Obama supporters argue that the American capitalism is on the verge of death in its present form, the way it is existing now, and the social injections, meaning the Medicare and Obamacare, are needed is the only way to reform it or save it. Do you agree or disagree with that?
The problem is not with the American citizens. They are a wonderful group. Their values are good. It's just that they're not given the tools that they need to have a just society. They're not given the basic information about what is really going on and who's benefiting from the economies that they're being told. They're being told that they have no money. They have taken an entire city, Detroit, and declared it bankrupt, when what's actually happening is their tax dollars are not even staying in their society. Their tax dollars are going by treaty to the United Kingdom, and then they're being transferred to the Vatican, to the Bank of the Vatican. This is not a society that's going to be sustainable on any basis, for any reason.
But do you feel like American economy is picking up? Because we hear President Obama saying the shutdown hurts American economy, but at the very sensitive moment when it has just started to catch up, but do you feel like it's catching up, really?
Oh, those numbers about the employment are completely fabricated, because they're not counting those people who have given up ever finding a job as unemployed. That's ridiculous. The real rate is just about double what they reported as being.
So the American debt looks like a doomed patient. Is there any other possibility for it than just grow into eternity forever? I mean, raising a debt ceiling once or twice a year, what's the problem?
The problem is actually when you talk about debt, that our currency is financed by debt. Our currency is issued by the Federal Reserve instead of the Treasury, which is, it's unconstitutional. When the Federal Reserve system was instituted in 1913, most of the Congress was on break. They sneaked that legislation through. So the debt is there simply for those bankers to put an interest on it and have it grow and compound every year. The debt is a fabrication. It's probably should be repudiated, but it can't be repudiated until you've looked at all of the implications.
But do you think it's going to go on and on forever?
No. What I think is going to happen is that at the upcoming Bretton Woods meetings on October 9th, the countries of the world, the foreign ministers of the world, are going to sit down and have a rational basis for currency rather than this fiat currency, which is absolutely, what can I say? It makes no sense to anyone but the bankers that are issuing it.
So when you look at the concept of the debt, it's much more than just borrowing money, right? It makes you controllable. For example, in the case of the U.S., who controls it? You mean the big corporations or countries like China and Japan who control large chunks of the debt?
Well, that's a very good question, and fortunately, some mathematicians at the Swiss Federal Institute Institute of Technology have given us a very precise answer. They did a study of who owns and controls the companies on the capital markets, 43,000 companies. And they found out that there's a secret super entity, they call it, that owns 60% of the earnings every year and 40% of the assets. They did this by putting the same people on the boards of these companies. So they have 10 times the economic power that they're entitled to. And they thought no one would catch them at it. This is a huge conglomerate that has been rigging the LIBOR prices. It's been rigging all of the commodities prices. It's been trading in the securities markets with insider information. It has got to be stopped. It also bought up all the media and has been lying to people deliberately. This is going to stop.
So just to answer my question, the government is controlled by the conglomerate or the corporations rather than countries that are up and coming economically, right? So why haven't these corporations or conglomerate, as you call it, been caught? Why is nothing changing?
That's the whole point about it. They like to think they're in control, but they're not. They're not above the law. And we citizens know exactly what they're up to. We've been working on this problem. All of the governors of the states have been working on this terrible corruption. So have the attorneys general. So have the sheriffs. And it's not going to continue. The American people are taking back their government, and they're stopping this terrible corruption.
Mm-hmm. You know, as of today, the United States is the financial heart of the world. And whether it collapses or keeps on going, it's obviously wrong this much power is concentrated in one place. Asia is a rising monster right now. Could it be that stealing its financial role from the U.S.? Do you think China, for example, could steal its financial role from the United States? Or are they also controlled by the same financial elite you're mentioning?
Well, I can tell you that the Jesuits have a very strong stranglehold on China as well, but I can also tell you that the transition of economic strength from the Western countries to the East is going to happen, but it's going to happen in a smooth way. It's not going to be a transition through a currency war like that terrible corrupt group is trying to manipulate everyone into. No, we're going to have a peaceful power transition this time around. We're not going to have World War III. They tried to pull it off in Syria. They're now thinking they can pull it off in Iran. It's not happening. The citizens of the world see what they're doing, and we're not letting them get away with it this time.
All right, after the break, does gold still shine? And when corruption infests from top to bottom, what does it take to blow the whistle? Stay with us.
That was fascinating. That was from Russian television, but she's an IMF whistleblower, a World Bank whistleblower. And she talked about it. Yeah, she's got to hand it to her.
Well, I'm sure she has freedom of speech in order to say what the government wants to say.
Again.
She has freedom of speech because the government wants her to say certain things, I'm sure.
Like what?
About all, you know, about the failing currency and all that.
Why would they want government want to know that? Want people to know that?
Well, this is Russian TV. I don't know, everybody's manipulated, Leo, you know.
Oh, no, of course. Of course I know that. But, you know, it's interesting.
I do too.
No, and I whistleblower would do that. I mean, they got Snowden, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Russians did.
Maybe, huh? Must have. Haven't heard a word from him.
Oh, he was shopping. They took pictures of him shopping.
He?
And, yeah, he's
in some mall?
Yeah, in Russia. But anyway, Fed's okay, amnesty rally. A closed national mall. They're really amazing. But they won't let the World War II vets at their memorial. You know, there's a lot of vets that are being arrested, by the way, for protesting that.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to read about that in a while. But this is really kind of an interesting thing because I don't understand the shutdown, you know, the kind of power that, and the kind of insanity that is causing. Planned immigration reform rally will take place in the National Mall on Tuesday, even though the site is closed due to a government shutdown. Organizers for the Camino Americano March for Immigration Reform were spotted Monday setting up a stage and equipment on the National Mall for the rally, which will take place on Tuesday. A few scattered barriers around the park have signs informing visitors that the area is closed as a result of the government shutdown. That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, they're closing, they're kicking people out of public parks. They're not allowing vets to go to the World War II Memorial. But they're allowing this immigration rally to happen on the mall. That's pretty disgusting, don't you think? Who runs this country? Huh? The illegal aliens. Their supporters. Suzanne Flores, a spokesman for Rally, confirmed to Washington Examiner that the Park Service will allow the event to take place under the group's right granted by the First Amendment. About 30 members of Congress are expected to attend the rally, including House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senator Robert Menendez. And the event is hosted by several immigration activist groups. This is sick, don't you think? Huh? Don't
yep,
you think
I
this
do.
Is sick? God damn. I think it's sick. International unions.
Yeah, I don't really understand all that. Which union is it?
Service Workers Union, I guess, and then the AFL-CIO. So, you know, but it's just, I can't support this.
No, what I'm wondering about, Leo, I just wanted to ask you, you were on the question of unions. You were talking about the union that wouldn't support the strike in Boston. What union was that? That was a bus driver.
Oh, the bus driver's union. Yeah, I don't know who they're affiliated with.
Yeah, I was just curious. There's nothing on the internet on that. That was
no, but I'm going to say, I'm going to cover more of that
tomorrow.
But it just amazed me that
Larry.
You know, that 635 bus drivers in Boston went out on strike. Okay, it was an illegal shutdown. They don't have the legal right to strike in Boston, but they all said, screw you. And they did. And their union, you know, their wonderful, wonderful craphead union went in and said, oh, they don't have the right to strike. We haven't authorized this strike. They're all doing it individually. It just seems funny that all of the people in the bus department, all the bus drivers, got together and said, screw you. All right? And they're going for wage increases and benefits and so on and so forth. All right? So, but their union won't even back the strike. What do you think of that? I think unions are destroying themselves all over the place.
They're gonna show their balls.
Huh?
They're gonna show their balls.
Yeah, show their balls. They don't have any balls.
Well, some of them
unions have no balls. The people, the union members do, but the unions themselves are nothing more than shit. You know, I think they don't have any balls at all. You know, they're all Obama followers, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway. I like this saying. So a friend sent this over to me. It says, our flag does not represent our government. It represents our ability to overthrow it. Isn't that a good idea? Isn't that good, Lila? You know, so I think it's great. That,
I'd like to go on to the other site, and I'd like there's an article on the Navy SEALs that I want to read. Very good.
We'll go to that in a minute. How redistribution to the rich has broken the back of
That's that right.
This came out from an English I think it was Galloway.
From the trenches, okay.
Yeah. But
Paul Buchheit. Conservative columnist Thomas Sowell recently declared, the history of the 20th century is full of examples of countries that set out to redistribute wealth and ended up redistributing poverty. Ironically, for thinkers like him, the last 35 years have redistributed U.S. poverty by redistributing wealth to the rich. The middle class, once the backbone of a strong American society, has been broken, beaten down, pushed further and further towards poverty level. Here are five well-documented ways that this has happened. Number one, income redistribution is worse than usually reported. We are told that the richest 1% doubled its share of income in the past 30 years. But from 1980 to 2006, according to both the IRS and CBO figures, they nearly tripled their share of income, and that's after-tax income. After 2006, the recession set everyone back temporarily, but in the first 2 years of the recovery, the richest 1% captured an incomprehensible 121% of the income gains. Others saw debt rise faster than income.
Wealth redistribution is even worse than income redistribution. In 1983, the poorest 47% of America owned about 2.5% of the nation's wealth and an average of $15,000 per family. In 2009, the poorest 47% of America owned 0% of the nation's wealth. Imagine that. Their debt exceeded their assets. And hard to believe it could get even worse. But because of the housing crisis and recession, the median family net worth dropped 40% between 2007 and 2010, while the richest Americans were regaining all their losses and beginning an even steeper climb to the top. Perhaps the biggest reason for this wealth distribution in the richest 10% owned among 90% of stocks, including pensions. Since the recession, as the U.S. economy has recovered, almost two-thirds of the gain is due to growth in stock market.
The redistribution of productivity, boosting profits rather than wages. From 2001 to 2011, total corporate profits more than doubled to almost $2 trillion, while the corporate federal income tax rate was cut in half. Incomes for 99% of Americans have declined since the recession, with the median household income dropping by 7.3%. Low-income jobs, $7.69 to $13.83 per hour, made up one out of five of the jobs lost to the recession, but accounted for three out of five of the jobs regained during the recovery. Finance is outrunning society and taking the money with them. Americans once trusted the financial industry to safeguard their retirement money, but high tech has transformed high finance at a much faster rate than the average investor can understand the changes. Rolling Stones reports on the loss of $2.3 billion in pension money in Maine and the simultaneous billing of $2.1 billion by the hedge funds, private equity funds, and venture capital funds. Another report tells of local funding crises caused by indecipherable structured finance deals sold by bankers with the promise of big returns. In 2007, a hedge fund manager, John Paulson, made $3.7 billion by conspiring with Goldman Sachs to create packages of risky subprime mortgages so that in anticipation of a housing crash, he could use other people's money to bet against his personally designed, sure-to-fail financial instruments. The high-speed, high-tech chicanery continues in the stock market, where programs can be interrupted by buy orders and in a few nanoseconds purchase the stock and then complete the buy order for a few pennies more. The bankers and hedgers and hustlers have made up the new rules for making money, and our government representatives don't know what's going on and don't care or don't want to stop the financial games that ultimately generate campaign funds. Finance is quickly printing its own money. In less than 10 years, the world's wealth has approximately doubled from $113 trillion to $223 trillion. Much of that is sheer speculation. The derivatives industry is worth over $1 quadrillion. But those speculative transactions get cashed in as real money. It's a dizzying, high-speed, fantasy land that redistributes the real money of the middle class to the super rich while inventing new forms of fees and bonuses along the way.
redistribution through government manipulation. There are numerous ways to the very rich have cajoled and coerced the and connived their congressional partners to redistribute money in their direction, like the lower capital gains rate. An astonishing 75% of the dividend and capital gains subsidies go to the richest 1%, but still not enough for hedge fund managers who call their income carried interest instead of income to keep their tax rates at a capital gains rate. And even that small amount may not be paid. Hedge fund managers with incomes in the billions can pay zero income tax by deferring their profits to their companies indefinitely. About two-thirds or nearly $1 trillion in individual tax expenditures, tax subsidies for special deductions, exemptions, exclusions, credits, capital gains, and loopholes go to the top quintile of taxpayers. And banks have arranged to get lower interest rates, saving them $83 billion per year. The U.S. federal government spends $100 billion a year on corporate welfare, almost half for big agriculture and fossil fuel industry. Another $150 billion per year goes to excessive pharmaceutical expenditures, as the drug companies have lobbied for laws to keep cheaper medications out of the hands of Americans. Better to call it pre-distribution. The term pre-distribution better represents, according to political science Jacob Hacker, the way in which the market distributes its rewards in the first place. Unregulated free market capitalism simply makes the rich richer, even if they have to break the backs of productive middle-class Americans to get their way. The work is licensed on their Creative Common Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. This work, they're talking about this place again. Isn't that amazing, folks?
Mm-hmm.
That's simply amazing. We're getting so screwed over, so screwed over, and the rich are getting so much richer because, it's the way it is. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway,
I don't either. It's very sad.
Let's go to a quick music break.
What is the response to that? I mean, you just don't have any. You feel so sick.
Yeah. I mean, it's really sick. That we're getting so screwed.
Right there, you just went by it.
Video.
Yeah, put that one.
article here, a little video.
The audio.
By Russian TV. U.S. forces capture al-Qaeda leader. Is that worth watching that? That's so damn mainstream, it's not even funny. It's been on every idiot station in the country 100 times.
Talks about you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't think so, because it's been on everything. You know, it's been on 100 times today, and it says the same crap.
Well, it's a false flag again. It's just a fancy nothing. They didn't do anything.
No, they didn't do anything. And, you know, they just went in and did nothing, and then they backed out of the one in Somalia there.
And they picked up some old guy from another country.
Yeah.
It's a false flag.
Yeah. Let me go to this one. I wanted to, this is interesting because
I thought it was good.
Justify complaints behind the Trumpers protest. This one too. Unvetted Obamacare navigators given your personal information. All right. This is really kind of spooky what's going on. It's called a hacker's paradise. Okay? The new Obamacare website. Okay. And they're called the navigators, but unvetted Obamacare navigators giving your personal information. As Americans become more reliant on computers, cyber crimes such as identity theft are more common than ever. While the current threat is unquestionably high, many believe that the full implementation of Obamacare will only exacerbate the danger. Primarily, the concern lies in the vetting process associated with
hired to help individuals make some sense of the convoluted health care plan. The Department of Health and Human Services recently confirmed that these navigators will not be fingerprinted prior to their hire, and the agency will conduct only cursory background checks. Furthermore, even applicants with previous convictions for identity theft will not be disqualified from the position.
That is so frightening. And though the law they will ostensibly explain to clients is incredibly complex, reports show that navigators will only be required to complete an online training class that they finish in as little as 20 hours. National Review's John Fun indicated that Obamacare's guides will be privy to reams of personal information compiled by federal agencies ranging from IRS to the Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration. Recently, reports have surfaced of bitterly partisan leftists being drafted as navigators. Last month, online radio host and conservative hater William L. Bryan was identified as one of the law's liaisons. It's interesting. Bryan has a documented history of harshly criticizing anyone who questions Barack Obama, especially those he deems birthers. He has an obvious vendetta against those who question the legitimacy of Obama's birth certificate, implying that dissenters are racists and xenophobes. Nice guy. The disgraced former attorney who reportedly suffers from a manic depressive illness will be one of the men and women entrusted with private information about countless American citizens. In quotes, my wife and I are going to be enrolling people in Obamacare, he said on September 24th, noted that he was looking forward to being extremely aggressive in marketing the unpopular law. Though criminal history won't be a deciding factor in hiring these navigators, political allegiance very well might. He could assume that Bryan is far from the only Obama sycophant being added to the roster of Obamacare guides, and unfettered the use of personal data can further their common goal of eradicating the conservative voice in America. If the IRS is capable of playing politics by targeting conservative individuals and groups, unaccountable navigators with access to much of the same information potentially have the opportunity to wreak far more havoc. And Obama's minions will have free rein to destroy the lives of those with whom they disagree. Crap.
Nice people, huh?
Hell yeah. I see. Obama's a goddamn. He's a Nazi. He's a Nazi. Mm. You know, and everything he does. Did you know in 2006 he made a speech in Congress that he voted against the debt ceiling and said the debt ceiling, you know, raising the debt limit was wrong.
Oh, really?
And he's done everything he's done in the last year. Every year he's tried to raise it at least once. What a hypocritical bastard he is. Anyway, I was really happy to hear this about this. Justified complaints behind the truckers' protest. Why? There's a protest. It says not for hire, October 11th to 13th. Truckers, independent truckers, are protesting in D.C. Right?
Well,
it all sounds exciting and meaningful, but what specifically are the truckers protesting? What exactly is the corruption that is destroying America?
And did they get, when are they going down there?
This weekend.
Mm.
You want to read that?
Sure. A simple online search, the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution, brings up dozens of write-ups about the protests, but almost none of them go into detail about trucker-specific grievances that protesters plan to bring to the attention of D.C. Predictably, the vagueness of the event and its purpose has prompted knee-jerk assumptions and spins from the right and the left. Leftist media outlets continue to put out negative headlines like right-wing truckers plan to jam D.C.'s major commuter highways, arrest members of Congress. NPM, an organizer for the protest, has since said that there are no plans to arrest members of Congress. Similarly, right-leaning media are pushing sensational headlines like patriotic American truckers and consumers to strike against our government. A corrupt government, pardon me. After reading multiple articles about the protest, it's still unclear what specifically the truckers are angry about. We spoke with Zita Andrews, one of the protest organizers. She shed some light on the complaints behind Truckers' Ride for the Constitution. Truckers are concerned about their livelihood, said Andrews. According to Andrews, the Department of Transportation is currently pushing a law that would require every trucker to have a tracking device in his or her vehicle. This device keeps track of mandatory brakes, idle time, and driving speed. This is a privacy issue, insisted Andrews. The feds can see and hear everything. This can control how fast truckers... They can even control how fast the truckers are driving at all times. It's the trucking nanny. Many independent truckers like to keep their records by hand. The government tracking device merely limits truckers' choices to keep handwritten records while stripping them of privacy.
Yeah, they just want to, you know, they want to regulate this thing to absurdity.
The DOT is also trying to enforce idling laws, which prohibit truckers from idling unless they keep a pad inside their vehicle. So these laws can be enforced using the tracking devices mentioned above. Andrews points out that idling restrictions become a health hazard when it's 10 degrees below zero out and truckers need to warm up the cabs before hitting the road.
Obama is also having a drastic negative effect on Obamacare. Is having an effect on truckers, according to Andrews. Many trucking companies are reducing workers' hours down to 30 per week because they cannot afford to provide full health coverage, which under Obamacare will be mandatory for all full-time employees. In the case of the trucking industry, this part of the new health care law hurts the trucker by limiting the hours he can work and subsequently lowering his pay. It also hurts employers by forcing them to either hire more part-time employees, which is inefficient in the trucking industry, or provide expensive full health coverage for all full-time employees. It's a lose-lose situation. These issues detailed by Andrews are just a few of the ways the truckers feel there is corruption against the Constitution, but you won't read about them in the mainstream press. Too often the left-right paradigm limits information put out by media. It is doubtful that the media will start focusing on the real cause of the protests anytime soon. Let's face it, it's just so much more fun to discuss impeachment and corruption than it is to talk about idling laws or health care mandates. Not to mention, it is easier to push political agendas when stories are wrapped around partisan headlines. The media often does not care about giving us substantial information so long as we click on their sensational headline to make them more ad revenue. Ironically, the same left-right paradigm may also have had influence in shaping the truckers' protest itself, which was initially spurred by seemingly justified complaints. The group's initial Facebook page was banned from the web because part of the description said, "No amnesty, remove all Muslims in our government that do not uphold the Constitution." Some Facebook users were offended by the sentence about Muslims. To them, it seemed like the truckers were singling out Muslims. Why remove only Muslims who violate the Constitution? Why not remove everyone, regardless of faith, who violates the Constitution? It is easy to surmise, given the initial event description, that truckers' ride for the Constitution could have been influenced by the left-right paradigm when it includes that sentence into their general description. And we have seen several marches of this kind over recent years by different groups in Washington, D.C. Even if the march reached the million man mark, or even if it slowed down traffic in D.C. for a day, is the protest likely to bring any real reform if those involved are not focused on the substantial, justified complaints that brought on this truckers' protest in the first place? Got a point there. But, you know, at least the protesting, you know, maybe they'll find it. I don't know. But so many protests are useless down there. You know, Lila and I were involved with several of them, big ones, and that came to nothing, you know. We even got sprayed for our...
Oh, yeah.
Sprayed by bioweapons for our involvement. I don't know, dear. We got 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
New study shows cancer reversal through vegan diet. This is kind of a... We've heard about this stuff before, but it's probably a good thing to play it, because we like to do this kind of stuff every so often. And, okay, cancer reversal through diet. A little three-minute video here. Dear Amish turns from reversing heart disease to trying to reverse prostate cancer. Vegan recipes. Let's go to that. This is from Green.
Just like with diabetes, the same diet that prevents heart disease can be used not just to treat it, but to reverse it. Next year will be the 20th anniversary of Dean Ornish's landmark research showing that without drugs, a near-vegan diet could reverse atherosclerosis, dissolve the plaque, open up the arteries. Well, if that's the case, can't we just eat whatever we want and then just start eating vegan after our first heart attack to dissolve the plaque away? Unfortunately, there's a little something called sudden cardiac death. Half of those that die of heart disease just drop dead. So our first heart attack may indeed be our last, but not in the way we were hoping. So what's Ornish up to these days? Well, he's still reversing heart disease, nearly three-quarters of patients angina-free, without drugs or surgery. But now that he's conquered the number one killer, he's moved on to trying to reverse killer number two, cancer. PSA levels are typically what's used to follow the progression of prostate cancer. In the standard diet group, they got worse. In the vegan diet group, they got better. No surgery, no chemotherapy, no radiation. They just started getting better. Here's an MR spectrograph showing the drop in cancer activity on the plant-based diet. To figure out what was going on, they took blood from each group and dripped their blood on prostate cancer cells in a petri dish to see what effect the dietary change had. The blood of the standard diet patients did reduce the cancer cell growth rates by about 10%. Their bodies, their immune systems were doing the best that they could to beat back the cancer. The blood of people on a vegan diet, though, knocked the cancer growth down 70%. Eating a plant-based diet made their bloodstream 8 times less hospitable to cancer. Now, this is after a year. Subsequent studies have shown that one can see a significant cancer-fighting effect after just 2 weeks on a plant-based diet with exercise. What's happening, it seems, is that the vegan diet reprogrammed gene expression within the prostate gland itself. Ornish took biopsies before and after the dietary change, and you can see the subtle shift in gene regulation from more red to more green. The green denotes genes that are being down-regulated under the lifestyle changes. Before and after. Ornish's 2-year follow-up was just published last year. A significant number of the standard diet group were forced to go into surgery for what's called a radical prostatectomy, which often leads to urinary incontinence and impotence in 60% of men coming out of surgery. But not a single one of the men on the plant-based diet had to go to surgery.
That's interesting. So, yeah, we're getting a vegan diet. These are veterans were arrested for having a vigil at the memorial, World War II memorial,
mm-hmm.
And they were arrested because it was supposed to be closed. Anyway, we tried here.
Well, interesting. Repeated anyway.
Wait, I just wanted to go here. His ransom demand is total capitulation to his demands of endless spending. total takeover of medicine by Obamacare and centralization of power in the hands of a few.
Mm.
I ran a gambit a few months back when I started releasing felony criminals from the prisons. Then the sequestration budget cuts. Today, the Obama administration has barricaded World War II memorials, shut down access to private businesses, closed part of the ocean, closed ocean.
How can you close parts of the ocean?
I have no idea.
That doesn't
closed
make sense.
Tourist viewing areas of famous landmarks, and gone out of its way to attempt to inflict suffering and inconvenience on the people of America. It has punitively blocked access to a private hotel and even kicked people off private lands as part of the government's shutdown theory. It's true, I've read this many several times.
Well, how can you block the ocean? That's ridiculous.
No, but they've private companies, private restaurants and hotels that are on these, are on...
Well, they're in government land, that's why.
Yeah.
Preventing tourists from enjoying national monuments. The American Thinker magazine reports that feds are placing cones along highways, viewing areas outside Mount Rushmore, barring visitors from pulling over and taking pictures of the monument and lying about the reason. That's right, the National Park Service is trying to prevent people from even seeing Mount Rushmore. As the Washington Times reports, the Park Service appears to be closing streets on a mere whim and caprice. The Rangers even closed the parking lot at Mount Vernon, where the plantation home of George Washington is a favorite tourist destination. That was after they barred the new World War II memorial in the mall to veterans of World War II, but the government does not own Mount Vernon. It's privately owned by the Mount Vernon Ladies Association. The ladies bought it years ago to preserve it as a national memorial. The feds closed access to the parking lots this week, even though the lots are jointly owned with the Mount Vernon ladies.
And evident, the rap sheet of contrived government shutdowns that have been evoked by the Obama administration as punishment for Americans.
And yesterday the government was caught in a total hoax of faking a shutdown of the Amber Alert website. The whole thing, much like everything else in the Obama administration, was utterly contrived. The entire USDA website is now following the same hoax pattern, feigning death, even though bandwidth providers never cut off service. This is yet another contrived example of shutdown theater. What the Obama administration wants to keep open, of course, stays open. For example, an immigration rally has just been approved to take place on the closed National Mall.
Yeah, we just read that.
What's clear from this is that Obama's cohorts will magically open federal lands for their own favorite projects while selectively closing federal property for projects desired by the people. I call it crony shutdownism. Obama holds America hostage to his outrageous demands. Everything you are witnessing here is in a government shutdown, folks. This is Obama holding a gun to the head of the American people, but you could also say it's Boehner doing the same thing.
Yes.
Keeping the nation hostage until Obama gets 100% of what he wants. What they fail to say to you is that the government made huge concessions. They were called the sequestration.
Yeah.
And as soon as we made those concessions, they just moved the bar further up.
So why
make concessions to that group?
I don't know.
I don't understand why every time we make
problem.
For the rich.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is.
And it's just too much.
But again, I don't agree with Obamacare at all. You know, I don't think people should have to pay for something and then be fined for it if they can't. Obamacare is crazy from what I've seen. The rates are crazy.
I would like to see medical coverage for all Americans, but not Obamacare.
As a single payer,
yeah.
As Medicare or some sort like that, you know, which is what it should be. Not this crazy thing where all the insurance companies make billions of dollars off you. Message for Obama is clear. Give me all your money or I'll make life miserable for everyone. This is a tactic of a mafia organization, not a legitimate government. Obama's administration utterly abandons its duty to the people. And
I don't agree with all of this article. I'm
totally
sorry. I'm not in agreement with this.
But he says, you can imagine the outcry from mainstream media of George W. Bush had selectively closed World War II memorials. We would have been accused of dishonoring America's greatest generation. That'll show them. Shut it down, Obama.
I don't like this article. Sorry, I can't agree with it.
I agree with you.
It's kind of silly.
I didn't think Adams was such a hard ass conservative writer, you know, but he's become that.
Yeah, I don't think that.
I liked his stuff a little more than that before.
I did too. I don't kiss that up at all.
Yeah. So it's pretty long winded, and it's.
And anyway, we're right to 9 o'clock.
Oh, that we were?
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
So we're right at the end of the show.
That's just not a bug. Yeah, you didn't. Okay.
So thank you for tuning in tonight, folks. Tune in again tomorrow night. We'll concentrate mostly on, well, at least part
actually,
of the show.
Actually, tomorrow night we have a guest, health guest. We got a guy, I forget his name, but he's got a little product, kind of a miracle product got a health product that you might talk about for a few minutes.
Okay.
But should be fun to talk to him. All right. We'll talk about that tomorrow night.
Okay.
So tune in, and thanks everybody for joining us.
And what's the health product?
An energy booster.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, energy booster.
Well, that might be interesting to find out.